The sermon's really about Christian mothers, so then you got non-Christian mums in the room thinking that I don't like you and that that I don't think much of you, which couldn't be further of the truth, from the truth, and it's communion, and I want us to get excited about that. So I haven't been looking forward to this one, really, because it's tricky. I'm juggling lots of things. But apparently, Mothering Sunday started in the Middle Ages, and the children who left their families to go out to work were then come back to their mother church, right? Apparently. Nods, good. Then apparently in around 1907, the Americans, particularly a lady called Anna Jarvis, she was a peacemaker and a political activist, she wanted the mothers of the American Civil War to be appreciated, so she made it also about mothers who helped in the war. So you got the church mother thing, and then you got the helpful mother thing, and then in 1911 it became a national holiday for the Americans. All right? And then Anna Jarvis didn't like the way it was going because it was too commercial. So she campaigned against it for the last bit of her life. And here I am, I've got to say something on it. My main aim this morning, briefly before communion, is to get us to be thankful for mothers. All mothers, but particularly, because this is the passage I'm in, church mums, and not just church mums, but like church as a whole. Because when you become Christian and you trust in the Lord's death and resurrection, you start realizing just how much the Lord has done for you. And I'm not saying if you're not a Christian, you're not grateful for things, but when you realize what he's done, you start to be upward more in your thanksgiving, like a bud which is opening up like a flower before the living God. And mothers, therefore, today, is something I want us to particularly look upwards and say thank you to the Lord for as a part of our Christian journey. Perhaps you've never thanked God in any way. Perhaps today will be the start of your Christian life, of realizing who the Lord is and what he's done for you, including mothers. And we read from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which says this. Ready? Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord is giving you. I remember Sunday school teachers used to go really loud on the first bit and then really sheepish on the second bit. Honor your father and mother. Obviously, that's a good one because you'll live long in the land. Because it's awkward, isn't it? Because people die young who honored their mum and dad. So it's either like God doesn't exist or he does exist and he's not fulfilling his end of the bargain on this one. So that's the sheepish bit, so that you may live long in the land. It is an awkward one. Will I live to 200 years old in Cardiff if I go home and tidy my room? If my mum tells me to tidy my room? Will I never die young if I honor my mum? Is that the promise? Also, I thought we have to come to Jesus for everlasting life. What's all this thing about honoring your mum and then you'll start to have this long life? What's going on here? What if my mum asked me to do things which are bad? What if I had a mum which wasn't very good? Am I supposed to honor them and then I'll live long in Cardiff? I don't understand. So, I'm just going to break down mother and land. Then we'll have communion. So this promise to honor mother and you'll live long in the land, it might simply just mean if you have a stable home life and you get on with your mum, you might live longer than someone that's had nothing but chaos and stress their whole life. Might mean that. You might outlive longer, and there is some evidence to show happy home life, generally you live a bit longer, you might even do better in education and things like that. Maybe that's what the promise means. I'm not convinced that's just what it means. A mother. Who are they? What are they? When the Bible uses the term mother, it means much more than someone that's had children. In fact, it doesn't really mean that one at all. In Bible language, mothers in church are grands, sisters, cousins, single women. They often get called mothers in church family. It's any woman connected to the mother church who hands on the church message And she has all these children that listen to her and pay attention. That's a mother. Church matters. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. So any lady who hands that on, and we honor them by listening and watching them as they live that message out. It's any woman that teaches people there's way more to life than grades, good looks, sex, money. Way more than that. You can live for way more than that. And we, like children, just gaze at them going, thank you for sharing that message. You're my mother in church. Church mothers don't teach that things just exist on the horizontal for themselves and then just end. Church mothers point people upwards, the vertical as well as the horizontal. And in the Bible, God writes about his church family, which is why the focus today is on church mums. Okay? Church family lasts forever, and there's tons of mums in it. So in 1 Timothy, it says, don't rebuke in church. Don't rebuke older men harshly, but honor them as if they were your father. Treat younger men as your brothers. Treat older women in the church as your mother. And younger women, treat them as sisters with absolute purity. All right? In Genesis, Sarah is called the mother of all nations, the Old Testament church. In Judges, Deborah is called a mother of Israel, the old church family. In Psalm 68, it said God puts people in families, and he's talking about the church family there. So if you're lonely, church family's for you, and there's tons of mums that you can come and get to know. And that's why we read from Matthew, where the Lord says, whoever does my will, the will of my Father, in heaven, is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So that's really what the Bible's talking about with mothers. And we love non-church mums, and they often put us to shame with their hard work and diligence and care. But today, here, the focus is thanking the Lord for church mothers, and we honor our church mothers. Honor your non-church mums as well, but go big today on thanking church women in your life that have helped you through your life. Go out of your way and thank God and thank them. And if you're not a church mum, can I invite you to trust the Lord today at this communion table, maybe for the first time, and learn the horizontal life and join church and be part of this family as we care for one another. At times, the Lord has put wonderful women in our journey of life. And today, we stop and we think about that, and we thank them, and we thank God. We often hear it in funerals. I wish I told them more how much I appreciate them. Today is the day where we go out of our way to thank church women in our lives. We name them. We name what they've done for us. And we thank God for them. Women who we say, thank you for patiently dealing with me, not giving up on me, helping me with that rut I was in. Thank you. I'm naming it. I've been going through loads of mums in my Christian walk, going through my notes of things that they've said and done. One of them was recurring in my notes, Johnny Erickson Tada, who's my mum's age, and she looks a bit like my mum, so I've always had an affection for her. And she's a Christian, and when she was 17 years old, she's still alive, she dived into some water, but she didn't realize it was a lot shallower than she thought, and she broke her neck as a 17-year-old. And ever since, she's been a quadriplegic and paralyzed from the neck down. And she writes all these books about how she's grateful that that happened, because she now knows things about God that she otherwise wouldn't have known. And she helps me think, wow, that is a big God. If he can handle paralysis, and there's still more to my life, and he still loves me and has a purpose for me, that's a massive God. And she's handed down that message to me and helped me. She says things like this: God has used these last 50 years of chronic pain to encourage me to keep close to him. She also says, my suffering helps me stay hungry for the bread of life, Jesus, and for the world to come. Now, who talks like that? Church mums. Johnny Erickson. She's had a queue of people trying to pray for her physical healing her whole adult life, because sometimes God does miraculously heal people. But in her story, he's chosen not to do that. And so she says to the queue of people coming to pray for her to be physically healed, yes, please pray for me, for my physical healing, but also pray for the healing of my attitude in the morning, my manipulative comments towards my husband, my tendency to try and be a workaholic instead of a worshiper first. Those are the things that God really wants to heal. And she's written books that just, they're on another level. And she's not blasé about suffering. She says this, sometimes life is so hard and I want to collapse and give up. My only prayer is, Lord, help me today just put on your smile, because I've got no strength to smile for myself. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is getting slightly closer to what's behind this promise of honor your mother, father and mother, and you will live long in the land. You're tapping in there to what's behind this promise, which was given to the church mothers and fathers to hand on this message to their children in church. There's like this eternal perspective that they're handing on. And that is behind this word land. Before we come to the communion table, you'll live long in the land. Is this a promise that you'll live to 200 years old in Cardiff? I meet lots of elderly people that they're ready to go. So if that's what it means, they're going to leave here really depressed, because life is just hard for some people that I talk to. They're like, oh, I hope I'm not here for another 105 years. I can't do it anymore. I'm ready to check out. And it's really interesting as well that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, he loves this promise about living long in the land, because he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And in the Ten Commandments, it is the first commandment with a part B, that you'll live long on the land, in the land. Interesting thing is, though, Paul was about to have his head chopped off when he wrote that, and he still loves the idea that he's going to live long in the land. So it can't mean that he's going to live to 200 years old in Rome, because he knows it was curtains for him. So the land always has meant more than just like a geographical patch of dirt, okay? And during the time of Moses, when these commands were written, like it's called Canaan, the land, and Israel, you'll know it as a promised land. And the Bible teaches us to think about the land like this. When you go to the cinema, there's a big screen in front of you, but the projector is behind. And what's on the reel on the projector goes forwards and lands on the screen, and you look at the screen, but it's coming from the projector, right? And the land in the Bible, basically it's God shining down what life, what he's like, and what heaven is going to be like, and he shines it down and it projects onto like a geographical patch of land in the Middle East. And the way that the heavenly people, Israel, used to live and follow these commands were all part of what like holiness and heavenly life is truly all about. So when they got to the land in the Old Testament, they actually knew that it's just a picture of the heavenly world to come, because they lived in tents. They knew they were only there for a bit, and this is just a picture of an amazing world to come. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9 says, by faith they made their home in the promised land like strangers in a foreign country. Abraham lived in a tent, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his children of the promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So they knew, right, we're going to go here, we're going to follow God's ways, but it's all about the eternal life that he's going to bring. And that's what the land is. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek, because they're going to inherit the earth. And there he's tapping into what the land was all about. It's all mine, says Jesus. We're just passing through, and I'm going to remake everything, and heaven and earth are going to come back. And it's all going to be my church family's gift. So trust me, and you will live long in the land. And that, by the way, is why God is called the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days, old. Doesn't mean he's tired and wrinkly. It means he's full of heavenly life. And obviously then, when we meet women and mothers in church family who believe that, trust in the Lord and this world is going to be yours that's coming, obviously then we're going to live long in the land. Because to honor them when they teach it to us and live it means we believe it too. We're all in this together. I get it. I'm with you. I'm going to live long there with you. So there we are. The command here today is be children with everlasting life and follow the women that tell us and live it. And they're not just fastened to this earth, but they're looking forward to the earth that the Lord Jesus is going to bring in, the heavenly life. I love mothers, especially church mothers, because they teach us to say sorry. Sorry to God. Sorry to each other. Get ready for that world to come. Don't hold on to bitterness and angry. Say sorry. Don't be greedy, my mum used to tell me. Use your money for good. Remember, Owen, it's all just passing treasure which is going to rot anyway. Look after what God has given you. Treasure it. Hand it on. Be helpful. Thanks, mum, for that vertical message. Today, we honor housewives who live as a picture of the gospel and of what Jesus has done for the world, who put others above themselves for tens of hours every day. They deny their own time to serve others with food and protection. Wonderful ladies in our lives. We honor those who have to work many jobs because the men in their lives have gone and run off and dishonored their calling often. And now they're trying to provide food for their loved ones. We think of them today. We honor them. We help them. And we say thank you to God for the mums who hand down more than a legacy of good grades, education, and being polite. They hand down this legacy. God loves you. Jesus has died for you. Do you know there's more to you than that stuff? You can love him too. I'll close with this. One of the mothers of the faith, Helen Rosevere, she died recently. She said this towards the end of her life. Although I found out, asked her, she was quoting a 12th century bishop. She said this, "I find myself longing more and more that I should know him more clearly, follow him more nearly, and above all, love him more dearly." So let's come to this communion table, us men and sons. We're going to say sorry for often not listening to our mothers like we should, not loving them as we should have listened more. And we all come for fresh grace to live in the light of the world to come.